As we look at scriptures in their entirety, God has a great secret from mankind. He's kept that secret over the centuries in the Old Testament. The secret was actually, Paul calls it a mystery. It was kept from Old Testament saints. It was kept from Abraham. Abraham knew about a promise, but he didn't know how it fit. It kept it from David, although David was going to be the father of the one who sat on the throne. He still didn't understand all of it. It was kept from the great prophets, Isaiah, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. All those are men that we go back to in reference as we teach prophecy, as we teach eschatology. And yet, as they write, they really don't understand. They write by faith, but they don't understand that between the cutting off of the prince in Daniel chapter 9 to the time when the prince would sit on the throne, they didn't see this huge gap called a mystery. Some has once said that a secret is a secret so long as only one person knows about it. Well, God kept the secret. He gave us hints so that from our perspective, we look back and we say, oh yeah, I get it. But those in the Old Testament look forward, they don't get it. We're so fortunate, aren't we, to live in a time in which we live and to have the entire revelation of God between the covers of this book. The Old Testament saints did not have that. So Paul writes in verse 26 of Colossians 1, he says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints. We're going to focus on that mystery this morning for just a moment. This secret, when revealed, would absolutely change how God and man would interact. So, let's look at verses 24 and following. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the revelation of the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this, that one statement, wraps up the mystery of the church and the uniqueness of the church as opposed to Old Testament, as opposed to tribulation, as opposed even to the millennium. It is the secret to the church. So, it's a rich secret, according to the scriptures. It's a glorious secret, but it's a mysterious secret. Now, let's talk a little bit about this matter of Christ in you. We live in a society that has become secularized, even amongst in churches. A number of years ago, I had to write a major paper. And the theme of the paper was the impact of humanism on postmodern Christianity. And as I began doing the research, I began to realize how different churches are today from what they were, say, in the 1700s, 18th centuries. And part of the reason for that, and I'm including us in this, part of the reason for this is in our sincerity to serve God, we want to do it ourselves. And we spend ourselves and our energies working so hard when all God wants is for me to be a tool relaxed in his hand. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not my efforts. It's not my talents. It's Christ in me that makes a difference. And that's the key to the mystery of the church. Now, the truth is, we're all different kinds of containers. It says, Christ in you, that means that I am a container. And some of us are just old paper cups. No big deal. Some of us are, maybe we got some plastic cups. Some of us may be some real fine crystal glasses. But the bottom line is, it's not about the container. It's what is contained. And that's the key. And we have to grasp that concept, that it doesn't make any difference what it is on the outside. Over the years, my wife and I have been used of God for reasons that we, quite frankly, don't understand this side of eternity, but spending time with individuals in a counseling situation. And one of the things that happens that we see over and over again is people that place the importance on what they are and what they do and what their talents are, as opposed to who lives inside them. And to get people to get past this, to realize that God has enabled us to be somebody, not because of who we are, but because of who we contain. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, that means that there are several things. I'm just going to give you some ideas of what we contain. One, we contain the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power of God, and it may be of the power of God and not of us. In verse 4 of that same chapter, it tells us that that treasure is the glorious gospel of Christ. So as I travel around wherever I go, I carry with me the glorious gospel of Christ. A number of years ago, we were out knocking on doors in Ben Salem. Ben Salem is a suburb of Philadelphia. And we were doing it fairly early because you don't want to go door knocking after dark in Ben Salem. It's just not a good idea. And knock on the door. A guy comes out to the door, and he is shirtless, and he is half drunk. He said, yeah, what do you want? And I said, we've come here to bring a little bit of heaven into your home. And he looked at me, and he said, you're a preacher. And I said, yes, sir. He says, come on in. We've been waiting on you. He said, my wife and I have been sitting at the dining room table talking about the conditions of our divorce. And we thought maybe if a preacher would show up, he could help us. We sat there for a couple of hours. I wish I could tell you that we led them to Christ. We did not. But they had decided that they were going to give the marriage another try. Every time that we walk into a home, we take a little bit of the gospel, a little bit of Christ into that home, because Christ is in us. And we are a vessel that hold the treasure of the gospel. And then the Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16. And we know what? No, not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The creator of the universe lives in our bodies. Now, if I can only grasp that concept, that means that all the power of God lies within me. In Romans 1:16, it says, we have the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God. John 14:27 says that we have the peace of God. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, but unto you let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, I'm actually going to leave you my peace. The peace that passeth all understanding becomes mine, and my body becomes a treasure of that peace. John 15:11 says, Jesus is going to leave his joy. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. The benefits of Christ in me, all the things that Christ had, he says, I'm leaving with you. As I return back to glory, I'm leaving it with you. So then there's, he says, so Christ in me. Without a doubt, if we were to take time today to testify about the times when Christ was present in us and he gave us the hope of glory, you would be able to testify at times when you felt the grace of God come under you and bore you up through difficult times. You can't be in the ministry for very long, but that you don't have those kind of times. And to sense and experience the grace of God. And watch God work in an amazing way. He says the hope of glory. Now, part of that hope of glory is in Titus 2:13. It says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So the blessed hope is always tied to what we understand as the rapture. Let me just take an aside here. One of the reasons I believe in that the church is not going to go through the tribulation in what we call the pre-tribulation rapture is that Christ is in me. Two things. Number one, Christ is not going to go through the tribulation. Two, you say, well he'll leave us here. No, he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So either I have to believe that Christ is going to go through the tribulation or I'm not going through the tribulation. I can have it both ways. So the hope of glory is the rapture of the church. John 14:1-3 says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And my Father's house has many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So the hope of glory has to do with my future, my eternity. But the hope of glory is a witness. It's a witness to the grace and glory of God. The world, the unsaved world, frankly, is not impressed when I'm excited about things that work well. When life is going well and I'm excited and I'm praising God, they're not impressed. They're impressed when I get a bad diagnosis from the doctor and I still praise the Lord. They're impressed when I'm sitting in a funeral home making arrangements and I'm still praising God. They said, that's not normal. That's not natural. That's the hope of glory. And by the way, let me just say to you that it's important that we rest upon the Lord even during those difficult times, not just for our sake, but for the sake of an unsaved world. 2 Corinthians 1:4 has this very special verse that has to do with the comfort of fellow believers, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That was a key verse we used for what we had in one of our ministries called the Christian Consultation Center. When people come and say, why is God allowing this to happen? Well, 2 Corinthians 1:4 makes it clear. Because God is going to bring you in touch with somebody who's going through what you went through, and God is going to use you to help them get through it. You see? And for this reason, Christ dwelling in me is the hope of glory. It's going to be the hope for somebody else that is hurting, somebody else that needs my help. It's a witness to the unsaved world of the grace and glory of God. Let me just remind you of something. The world of the unsaved has a God-given right to see the grace, mercy, and love of God manifested and flowing through us. This is a right that God has given them to see reality of Jesus Christ in us. We say, Christ in me, the hope of glory, and we get excited about that, but God says, yes, that's true, but it's not about you. It's about Christ working through you to touch other people's lives, including the unsaved world. It's a testament to the reality of Christ in us that produces the hope of glory. A number of years ago, my wife was having our fourth child. And she had the baby cesarean section, so we knew the date and time and so forth, and she was in the hospital. And she calls and says, the doctor says something's really bad wrong with the baby. We didn't have any idea what it was. Next morning, the pediatric cardiologist comes to me, and he says, your baby won't live more than 6 hours. And I said, well, praise the Lord. She gets to go to heaven. And he looks at me. He's a Roman Catholic. He looks at me, and he said, you don't understand. You didn't understand me. And God gave us the opportunity for 18 years to allow the world to see Christ in spite of difficult times. My sister-in-law once told my wife, she says, I don't know how in the world you live with this. Because for 18 years, she was not supposed to live the next day. And yet she was growing up and became a rather normal teenager, played basketball, played volleyball, was a cheerleader and all the kinds of things. And we would take her to the doctor, and the doctor would say, if I didn't know you, I would say you're lying to me. There's no way she can do this. But the truth is, as they saw this, they began to realize there was something different. Dr. Donner, who was the head of pediatric cardiology at Temple University in Philadelphia, he was a conservative Jew. He told me, after Tanya had gone to heaven, he said, I knew from day one there was something different about her. And I said, Doc, you know that it was the presence of Jesus Christ. And he smiled and he said, I'm not surprised to hear you say that. He says, you understand, I don't believe that, but I appreciate the fact that it made a difference for Tanya. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me ask you a couple of questions at this point. Number one, is Christ in you? That is a question that can be answered only in terms of salvation. The moment I get saved, Christ takes up residency, and I literally had this unique, mysterious union where the God of the universe indwells my body. That is something that I cannot explain. One of the classes that I teach at college is Christology, and we talked about the kenosis theory and how Christ could have been all God and all man at the same time. And the students, college students, want black and white answers. I said, when you get a black and white answer for that, write a book, you'll make a lot of money. He said, how could God be 100% omniscient, and yet in Luke it says he increased in knowledge? I don't understand, but it's true. So the same truth is when I get saved, Christ takes up residency, and all of a sudden, my life takes on a different dimension. The spirit part of me is resurrected, and I have the potentiality of being everything that God wants me to be. If I will just submit, if I'll just let go and let God do what God wants to do. My wife and I were talking about this on the way over this morning. It's not about what I do. It's about who I am. And we struggle with that. Because if it's what I do, then I'm in control. So I can schedule this, and do all these things. So at the end of the day, I can say, I must be a pretty good Christian, I did all these things. But that's not how God views it. It's all about who I am. It's all about who Christ is in me. You understand, God is far more interested in the worker than he is the work. Because if he has the worker, he'll have the work. And that's the key to Christ in me, the hope of glory. Is that God is concerned about me, and so in salvation, he indwells me. The other side of that coin is the doctrine of sanctification. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Not just in terms of heaven, rapture, and those wonderful doctrines, but on a day-by-day basis, Christ in me. We often think of that in terms of personal benefits, and there are plenty of them. But it's not about the personal benefits. It's about what Christ wants to do as I am a tool in his hand to reach people. You ever thought about Job? Now, I understand, theologically, Job didn't have the benefit of having Christ in him as we do today. But God allowed Job to go through all of what he did so that Job could be a living testimony to us of the grace of God. Again, one of the college students, we were talking about Job, and one of the college students says, I understand he doubled with his camels and all the rest of this, but he didn't double with his kids. He only got 10 kids. Sure he did. The other 10 were already in heaven. So he got 20 of them. So please understand, today as I'm going through whatever it is I'm going through, Christ in me, the hope of glory, no matter what I go through. So, if it has to do with the rapture could happen today. I want to make sure today that I am living for Christ so that the hope of glory happens, I'm ready. As I wrote my notes, I was tempted to get into the whole issue of prophecy, but I don't want to get into that, but that certainly would fit this verse. Because the truth of the matter is, there's a lot going on in this world today. However, I've learned, and I'm sure Brother Jim has learned this as he's done his study, you don't build your eschatology on the basis of current events. You build it on the Word of God. And what does God say? Now, it's interesting to look at the current events and alongside the Word of God. It's like reading today's newspapers. The Word of God just jumps out and makes incredible statements. I want to challenge you, and we're gonna be done. You guys can fellowship. But I want to challenge you to one thing. As you face today, tomorrow, this next week, next month, don't forget that Christ is in you. And because he is in you, you have the hope of glory. All that God has is yours because Christ is in you. Father, I thank you for this wonderful truth that, quite frankly, we don't fully understand. We accept by faith. But Father, I pray today that you would use this truth to help us, I pray, to be encouraged, to be challenged, and Father, to be willing to submit to your authority. For it is in Jesus' name I pray.